I'm going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this evening. There's a lot going on in the ministry, and again, I'm thankful. I mentioned this morning about praying for your missionaries, especially the ones that are either on the foreign field or trying to get back to the foreign field. They're discouraged, and some of that discouragement they brought on themselves, and it's unnecessary, but they feel like churches are almost judging them, like, why aren't you doing something? And I think most churches, at least the churches I've been in, we understand, our church understands that we have missionaries that cannot get back to their field, or they can't be very effective or efficient on their field right now. We get that. They're trying to figure out, how can I serve in my particular field with the restrictions? But be in prayer. Satan will use anything to discourage us. He'll use anything to discourage us. He just found another weapon to discourage those people that are trying to muddle through this. So be there. And if I can encourage you for Easter to be here, Pastor King was my pastor growing up. I love his preaching. I love to hear him. I was just in that conference in Florida with him, and he just has a way with words. I will warn you, if you've not heard him preach, sometimes he has a little shock value to some of the stuff he says. Wow, would it shock you? Okay, boys, when Pastor King's here, watch how many times he puts his hands up just like this. And then watch how many times he says, wow. You got to pay attention when Pastor King's here. I've counted before. It's a lot. Now, I can't say wow the rest of the service because I just called Pastor King out on it. I should be careful because he gets to speak after me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this morning we were talking about justification. We're talking about salvation. And you know what? As Christians, we should have joy and we should be able to enjoy life. And we should be able to do these things. But we should also realize that there's things in the Bible that we need to keep the main thing. And salvation is the main thing. Think about it this way. We talk about a ministry like ours, and now your church is involved, and those scriptures that are going to these different fields, your fingerprints, in a certain sense, and I'm saying as far as the financial side and the prayer side, your fingerprints are already on those scriptures. People are being saved as a direct result of what your church is doing through our ministry, not to mention what's being done with all the other ministries. And as we talk about salvation, and I understand it's a Sunday night crowd, and I just want to put this out there, as we talk about salvation, wouldn't it be a shame to talk about Malawi and talk about Kenya and talk about Korea and the need for the scriptures there, but yet we have the scriptures here. We have them handy. We have them on my display table in all these different languages. But you've never come to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, as we move into the Sunday evening service, what I'd like to talk about, if I can, the second part of the sermon, is our sanctification. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 1, there's a lot to be said about it. We won't take a lot of time tonight. But it says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about sanctification. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this night to come back and spend a little time gathering together as a body of believers, Lord. I know we refer to the building often as the church, but Lord, we are the church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we assemble. Lord, as we have a lot that concerns us in the world. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's some family issues, maybe it's some different things going on that concern us, Lord, that we would stay focused on the main thing of reaching the lost with the Word of God, and then, Lord, of bringing glory to your name, Lord, in what we do. Lord, as we look at the term sanctification and what we can do to work on that, Lord, I pray that you'd guide us and direct us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to bring one personal note out as well. Our son Isaiah that was with us, he's our second son, but he was the oldest that was with us this morning, the tall, skinny guy. He's been having some health issues, and they've become more and more concerning as we've taken him to multiple doctor's appointments. He'll just simply stand up and fall over, fall to the ground. We've had him an MRI done. Tomorrow he has an EEG, so tonight I get to go home and him and I are going to hang out until 2 in the morning because they want him sleep-deprived when he comes in the morning. So pray for him. Pray the doctors would have some wisdom. Hopefully it's something that they can take care of fairly simply. Our children overall have been pretty healthy, and we're thankful for that. So obviously there's some concern there, but just that they'll be able to find out what's going on and how we can help him. It's worth noting here in our passage when it talks about to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. We get our word for saints from the sanctified. We are not saints simply because we like that term, but because we are sanctified. Charles Ryer explains it this way. He says the word sanctified means to set apart. It has the same saint root as the words saint and holy. For the Christian, sanctification has three aspects. So sometimes when we talk about sanctification, and I'll continue to read what he says in a minute, when we talk about sanctification, we talk about being sanctified at salvation, and we are. And I know, again, I'm getting a little academic in what I'm speaking on, and there's some college students here that can correct me afterwards. Any of you guys freshmen? Freshmen will straighten you out. That's when I was a freshman in college, Bible college, I knew everything, and now I've been in the ministry 20 years, and I found out the Bible's a really thick book. It's a really thick book. But as we're sanctified, it's first that the believer has been set apart by his position in the family of God. This is usually called a positional sanctification. And it means being set apart as a member of the household of God. And it's true of every believer regardless of his spiritual condition. And that this position of sanctification is based on the seed of Christ is clear from Hebrews 10:10, and that says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And let me say this, we talked about salvation and justification this morning. When we talk about sanctification, and you talk about some of the other religions that talk about losing your salvation and so on and so forth, I'm so glad that it's Jesus Christ and his shed blood, and it's, as it says here in Hebrews 10:10, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I'm glad that I don't have to be saved every time I make a mistake or every time I sin, or I don't have to do that. So I'm sanctified. I'm sanctified now. Ryer goes on and he talks about 1 Peter 1:16, and he says, of course, there is the experiential aspect of sanctification. Because we have been set apart, we are to be increasingly set apart in our daily lives. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I want to spend a little time here talking about that as Christians. Again, when I talked about this morning, some of the things I was reminded of in 2020, we are saved, those of us that are saved, we are sanctified, and that means we're called to be set apart. I was surprised or shocked or just in awe, almost grieved at the fact as Christians, sometimes how we forget that we're set apart to the service of God. Now, I'm an American. I bleed red, white, and blue. I've had lengthy emails that I've written to the Winnebago County Board because of some of their stuff they're doing. I think we should be involved in the process. But I'm a Christian first and foremost. And as a Christian, I need to be set apart to the service of God. And if we use the term sanctification, if you look at it past, and the fact that you got saved and you were sanctified, present. And my challenge is this present sanctification is, are you striving to have a closer walk with God? I'm not trying to be deep theologically. I'm trying to put this down on a simple level. Are we striving to be better Christians? Because that's what the world needs today. The world needs to see Christians that are sold out, that are sanctified, that are on fire for God, that's their focus. There's an old saying, heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And I'm not talking about necessarily not being any earthly good, but they should be like, this guy's always talking about Jesus. This guy's always talking about the Bible. This guy's always talking about, yeah, that's okay. It's okay. Somehow the world has pushed us back in this corner that says, hey, those things are okay for you to talk about in your church building, but don't talk about them at work. And I'm not talking about being a jerk at work and forcing people. But it's okay to mention God and mention those things and tell somebody that's going through something, hey, I'm praying for you. It's okay to do those things. talks about in the positional sense, no one is more sanctified than another, but in the experiential aspect, it is quite correct to speak of one believer as being more sanctified than another, and all the exhortations of the New Testament concerning spiritual growth are pertinent to this progressive and experiential facet of sanctification. And again, I come back to, I think, of James, where it tells us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Have you ever walked into a store and saw somebody in the store, and you go, I bet you that person's a Christian? I don't know, maybe you haven't. Because I travel, I get around, and I see different things. And it's amazing, why would we notice that about them? Sometimes maybe it's the way they're dressed, but there's something about the way they carry themselves differently. Now, that doesn't mean there's not any other Christians in there and so on. And I'm going to try to make an application. I'm going to try to make an illustration that will hopefully help us understand. And it's an illustration, so please don't crucify me afterwards because everything didn't line up with my illustration. Jesus Christ spoke parables, and he was Jesus, and he did it perfect. Even though I'm a carpenter, I'm not Jesus, that kind of carpenter. So, in 2012, it was discovered that my mom had leukemia. And, of course, we started getting her treatment and went through the proper treatments for it, and eventually she ended up at Frater for treatment. And they eventually decided what she needed was a bone marrow transplant. And, of course, if you're familiar with these things, a bone marrow transplant is obviously where they're going to drill down into somebody's bone and get the bone marrow and take it out and extract it and then put it in the other person. And I didn't realize this, but not every joint and every bone in your body has bone marrow in it, but your hip is a really good place to get it from. It's supposedly very painful, but thankfully, as technology would have it, you can also do a stem cell transplant with adult stem cells. So they decided to do the stem cell transplant with my mom, and I'm giving you a little bit of background here, and obviously it's a little personal. They decided to do a stem cell transplant with my mom, so they had to find a match. Now, you would think, well, she's my mom, so I match her. Well, no, I'm only half my mom. Now, if you knew my dad and my mom and their personalities, you'd say, well, you're more than half your mom. You're about 90% your mom by personality. My dad's real quiet. My mom, you didn't have to ask her opinion. None of that. But none of us kids were a match. We weren't close. But then she has some siblings, and so they started testing them, and of course, you would assume her siblings all have the same mom and dad, so you'd assume that all of them would be a close match, but because of the mix of mom and dad and so on, not necessarily. And I forget what it was. I think it's only like a 30 or 40% chance of one of your siblings being a match. But her brother, one of her brothers ended up being a match. And just coincidentally, when her brother, who's younger than her, was quite young, he almost drowned, and my mom saved him from drowning, and he said, hey, now I get to pay you back for saving me from drowning. So all that, she said, what does it have to do with sanctification? We'll get to it, I promise. So they're getting her ready for the stem cell transplant. So my uncle has to have certain shots and has to do certain things to get him ready to withdraw his stem cells. And to do that, just in case you're thinking about a bone marrow transplant versus a stem cell, they're basically withdrawing blood. They put a needle in his arm, IV, and take out the stem cells they need. So he goes in the morning. In fact, my uncle is mentally handicapped to the point of maybe being a 12 or 13-year-old boy. So I take him down to the night before, stay overnight in the hospital, take him in the morning, stay overnight in a hotel, take him to the hospital in the morning, and he goes in and gets the stem cells taken out. We go over and talk to my mom. Now, my mom has gone through a process, and I don't remember how long it took, of taking her blood cells, and with leukemia in particular, it's your white blood cells that are the problem. And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to make her stem cells of no, or excuse me, her blood cells of no real value. This is where we start to blend some of the physical and some of the spiritual. See, there's something wrong with my mom's blood. As humans, there's something wrong with our blood. We need a transfer. We need a donor, if you will. So my mom is almost literally brought to death's door because what happens is if her value of her blood, and I forget what the numbers are, how they measure all that, if her value of her blood is greater than a certain point, when my uncle's blood is introduced in the stem cells, her blood's going to fight that as a foreign agent, okay? And they're going to fight with each other, and they're either, my uncle will take over or my mom's body will take back over and ultimately would kill her. So they basically take her to death's door, and then they do this stem cell transplant. So they do the stem cell transplant, and as we're talking to the doctors before this, they're like, hey, just so you know, when we do the stem cell transplant, if it takes place, it's going to just going to change some things. It's actually going to change your DNA. Well, you got to know how I think. All right, we're in the middle of a stressful time. We're a couple years into this, or a year and a half into this. And I said, Mom, let's go out and rob a bank because your DNA is going to be different after they do the stem cell transplant. And they'll come and they'll check your DNA and say, oh, her DNA doesn't match, so it couldn't be her. If you're watching this on live stream, we didn't rob a bank. We didn't. We didn't do it. So they do the stem cell transplant. Can I say when you get saved and you get that transplant and you get that blood, you should have a little different DNA makeup? I know my uncle's not perfect. I'm not trying to say that. But Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. He died for us, and now we're sanctified. We should be a new person. You understand what I'm saying there? Again, I know that's not a perfect example. We should be a new person. My mom gets a stem cell transplant, and it starts to change her. It changes her DNA. Her DNA now matches my uncle's. From that standpoint, and I don't know, there's probably some technical things where there's some differences, but there's not a big difference. That's the way it should be with us when we're sanctified. When somebody looks at us, when somebody really puts us under the microscope, so to speak, they should see Christ through us. Now, we're not a perfect example, and we'll never be a perfect example of Christ. Not on earth, we won't be. What happens, and I mentioned the robbing the bank, what happens is we get washed in the blood, we get sanctified, and Satan comes up and reminds us of our past. And he uses that weapon very effectively against us. But just like when I joked around with my mom, when the police showed up and said, hey, you robbed this bank, and my mom says, you don't have any DNA proof of that, we need to remind Satan that we've been washed in the blood. It's under the blood. I like the saying, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. So my mom gets this transplant. Things go well for a while. And then something happens, and they use the term failure to thrive. So those of you that have dealt with any of this kind of stuff understand what that term means. Ultimately, April 29th of 2015, my mom passes away. I'm telling you, again, a very personal story, but to help you hopefully understand sanctification a little bit. Sometimes as Christians, we have a failure to thrive. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am sanctified. I have a new DNA. But her failure to thrive was her old man fighting the cure. Our failure to thrive sometimes as Christians is the flesh is fighting what Christ is doing for us. And I want to encourage you tonight as we talk about these things that we don't have to have a failure to thrive. We don't have to have a problem in our flesh. Now, I'm not saying that there's not problems. Obviously, we struggle. Sometimes you look at the old-time saints, and I'm saying the old people in the church. I'll joke with, we got that guy, Jerry Martin, that comes in the shop. Him and his wife have been married 50-some years. And I'll say, well, you know, the reason you guys were able to stay married for 50-some years is because it was easier back then. Now, the old people all just laughed at me. Because you know what I found out? It was hard to stay married when you were younger, too. There were struggles then, too. Marriage isn't always easy. Being a Christian isn't easy. Oh, yeah, it was way easier to be a Christian back. No, Christianity is a struggle to it. But being justified, being sanctified, we have the Word of God to help us in our failure to thrive. And the good news is, thankfully, God is merciful, and so it's not just a simple time where there's a one-time instance where we have a failure to thrive. I'm thankful that I've seen people, now that I've been at the same church for so many years, that struggle in life and maybe even get away from God for a while, and they come back, and they can be, they can continue their walk with God in their sanctification. And so I'm not trying to make this any deeper than it is, than it needs to be, but I'm just trying to simply bring this to light that we're in such a time that we need to be not just sanctified at the time of salvation, but we need to continue to grow in the grace of God. All of us need to be there. We need to not allow ourselves to get to the point where we have the failure to thrive. Now, there's a couple of verses, and this is hopefully going to end us on a little bit more of a high note. He's talking about his mom dying. I can't get any worse. 1 John chapter 3. My mom, I love my mom to death. She got saved on her 18th birthday. She got her first blood transfusion on her 18th birthday when she got saved. She's in heaven with Jesus. I promise you, she doesn't want to be back here right now. Maybe to see the grandkids. I don't know how that works in heaven. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Ephesians chapter 5, this is a great passage. I talked about this morning, there's some things sometimes in the Bible where you know God's the one that gave us the Bible, because I certainly wouldn't put him in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 sometimes is one of those points where you go, oh, I don't know, that's kind of rough here. It talks about in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Understand that Christ died for the church, and that's the body of believers, obviously not the building. But in verse 26 it says, "That ye might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that ye might present it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And then Jude verse number 24, talks about, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." It's great to talk about sanctification. While we got sanctified when we got saved, we're growing in grace. God's working on us. We can come boldly before the throne. I'm so thankful that I can confess my sins. We can go through the book of 1 John, and I know we referenced 1 John chapter 3. We talked about that. But then we come to glorification. The pastor that came down with the group, he said something. He goes, I'm fully sanctified. He was joking with me, and then later he said something. Well, I'm only human. I make mistakes. I said, no, you said you were fully sanctified. No mistakes in my print shop. And he, oh, yeah. But I'm glad that someday I get to stand before God fully sanctified. Again, that's not because of something I did. That's because of something that Christ did. Christ in us. And so my encouragement to you today, as you go out this week, is to live for Christ. To live for Christ. Wow, you preached this morning and there were some lost people here. There's this person needed her. Maybe somebody heard it on live stream. And that's great. We talk about salvation and those things are wonderful. And I'm saved and so now I can do whatever I want. Nope. Now we need to live a sanctified life. And again, one of the things I learned in 2020 is there's a whole bunch of people out there that at least claim to be Christians that are living like the world. The first thing on their mind is not, how can I be a better Christian? They get on Facebook and they want to argue with everything. And I love the saying about Facebook. Facebook has never made the blind to see, but it sure has made the dumb to speak. And all I'm challenging for today is that sanctified life. Have a sanctified life. Be separated to Christ. I know when you first get saved, I got saved when I was 11 years old. I didn't have to give up booze. I didn't have to give up. But you know what? I read the Bible, and the Bible says, be angry and sin not. My boys think whenever I raise my voice, I'm angry. I have to remind them that's just my dad voice because you can't hear my inside voice. I work around machinery, so sometimes I talk loud. But I also have to remember that maybe I don't drink, maybe I don't do drugs, maybe I'm not out doing all that nasty stuff, but being angry without a cause is still a sin. Wow, the Bible talks about pride, and I'm not proud. I'm the most humble person I know. But can't we get that way? God starts working in our lives. God starts using us in a special way. We overcome one of the big sins, and all of a sudden pride creeps in. We start looking at these things. Sometimes as men, we get together and we fellowship. Women will get together and gossip, and that's sin, but men will fellowship. And in the ministry, it's a hard balance sometimes because you sometimes need to deal with certain problems, and so you get around a pastoral friend or somebody else, say, hey, how would you deal with this? Or you share an illustration, and you want to be very careful that it's not gossip. But again, when I say this, I want us to be very careful as Christians to say, okay, we checked off the big boxes. What about all these little boxes over here? The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. Because I believe today, more than ever, we need to have a closer walk with Christ and push everything we can to the side. Everything we can to the side. Again, I go back, I love the term, I don't love the term, it's not a nice term, it's a negative term, but the term failure to thrive. We need to thrive as we serve the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. God, I'm so thankful that we can talk about salvation. And God, it has nothing to do with this church building. It has nothing to do with being Baptist. It has nothing to do with good works. God, we spent the first 5 minutes or so of this sermon talking about coming up to the print shop and putting Bibles together in the ministry and everything that goes into that. And Lord, I would love to see every one of these folks come up at some point and work in the print shop. Lord, I think it's the greatest thing, and I think they would all enjoy it. But God, none of that has to do with our salvation as far as getting saved. But Lord, you've called us to serve you after we are saved, and part of that is being sanctified, being set apart. As we read, be holy as I am holy. And Lord, I don't understand all the minutiae of every little detail of how I was sanctified at salvation and how I'm being sanctified as I grow spiritually and how I'll be fully sanctified. But Lord, I do know that I can constantly be looking for things in my life that are keeping me from being close to you. And Lord, I don't know that the illustration of my mom and her fight with leukemia and her failure to thrive and all that hit home for anybody in the room, but Lord, it helps me to understand just a little bit more of what's going on in the spiritual realm. God, I do pray if there's somebody here tonight or somebody that is maybe watching the live stream that's not saved, that they would see that need for salvation, because that's most important. If they're not saved, none of the rest of this even matters. But Lord, those of us that are saved, those of us that know for sure we're going to heaven, those of us that are called your children, Lord, we need to walk closer to you. Lord, the world is getting more and more wicked. It seems like every day, almost every hour, we just see some more vileness come out of the world. And Lord, it grieves us, but it really should not shock us, because you said evil men will wax worse and worse. But Lord, we do pray for your mercy and your grace on us as Christians. We do pray that you'd help us as we witness, as we share the gospel locally, as well as around the world, that you give us wisdom in how to do that better for you. Help the love of Christ to shine through us as we go out into the world. Help folks to see at work or in the grocery store or wherever it might be, that there is something different. The Bible uses the word peculiar, and we kind of use that in a negative sense, but Lord, it's a biblical term. Help us to be a peculiar people in these very peculiar times. God, that we can see more souls saved and brought to heaven, Lord. Work and guide and direct us as only you can. Lord, we pray for mercy on our country. We don't deserve it. We pray for those that are in positions of power and authority, that, Lord, first and foremost, they would see their need for salvation. Lord, we pray for their success. We pray for their success in everything that's correct, everything that's biblical, everything that aligns with the things of God. And Lord, we pray for their failure at things that go against the things of God. And Lord, that we as Christians would be bold as lions and harmless as doves. Give us strength to be the Christians that we should be today and this week. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name.